Well, welcome to a brand new week of Political Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for tuning in via both the radio waves and also the TV set on Comcast Channel 4. That is 4FSU in Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties. You'll also be able to see our program online on our Perspectives page, which you can find at WFSU.org/elections2016. You are always welcome to be part of the action, regardless of whether it's during the political season or not, by giving us a call at 414-1234, the local number in the Tallahassee area. It's 800-926-8809 if long distance between you and us. Perspectives@WFSU.org is the email, or you can send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. We are now in the fifth of our series of Political Perspectives, the race for Leon County Supervisor of Elections. For the first time in some, oh my gosh, more than two decades, the current supervisor, Ion Sancho, is retiring. That opens up another constitutional office in Leon County for a new group of contenders to battle over, and we have the combatants with us today right here on Perspectives. Starting with my left, your right on the radio and the TV set, we say hi to Alan Williams, soon to be late of the Florida House of Representatives, seat number 8. Representative, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you. It's great to be here.
Let's start off with just giving you an opportunity here to talk about your background and what Sure. that brings to the Supervisor of Elections position.
So thank you, Tom, and WFSU for having us. I think it's very important that we have an opportunity for citizens to engage and learn about all the candidates and all the races that we have. And I think that's one of the jobs that the Supervisor of Elections should do and will do when I become Supervisor of Elections, with your help out there in the listening audience. One of the things I would tell you is about my background. I grew up in Tallahassee, fifth generation Floridian. Mother and father met here. My wife and I met at FAMU like my mom and dad did. And I'm excited about this opportunity. For the past 8 years, Leon County, Gadsden County, you've given me the opportunity to represent you in the legislature. And through that work, you've had a return on your investment. By one, we've been able to expand the number of early voting hours. I was part of leadership part of that. We had opportunity to expand early voting sites. We know we had a lot of folks who were complaining about, you know, if it's good enough for Election Day, why aren't we doing it on early voting? So we want to make voting more convenient. So we did that. I was proud to be a part of that effort. And then last is online voter registration. We know that many states, 27 other states, as a matter of fact, before Florida, had online voting. Arizona was the first in 2006. Everybody was concerned about fraud and all of these things. Arizona cured that. They didn't have that problem. 26 other states didn't have that problem. And so I'm proud of the fact that I've been able to bring that type of leadership to the House to make that get that passed with Republicans. And so this wasn't just a Democrats-focused issue. This was something that both the Republicans and Democrats said, you know what, let's lock arms together, something you rarely see in the Capitol these days. But we locked arms together under the leadership of Speaker Chris Afully and President Gardner. We were able to get it done. And so I'm excited about what I bring to this race. But more importantly, I'm excited what I bring about the leadership I bring to this office. And being from this community and having an opportunity to lead the new Supervisor of Elections office.
Thank you, sir. Right next door to you is Mark Early, currently in the office as and let's talk about that position relative to the one to which you aspire, Mr. Early. And again, welcome, and tell us what you bring to the table on this.
Thank you, Tom, and thanks to WFSU for having this important forum. My name is Mark Early, obviously, and my position is Voting Systems Manager. I've been working with the Leon County Supervisor of Elections Office for 24 years. I've been in elections for 30 years. My current position is basically in charge of operations. We run the logistics and the voting systems and the audit systems, and also I have as part of senior management, have a hand in essentially every decision made in the office. We are very proud of our record in Leon County. I think our outreach programs are some of the best, certainly our technology and our audit systems are some of the best. We're always very innovative. I think that's what we are known for. We have a national reputation along those lines, and that is something we want to continue. As I say, I think my experience and background brings something to this office that none of the other candidates have. My endorsement from Ion Sancho is important, and 16 other supervisors of elections. I think that shows my depth of understanding. I am not well known within the community, but within elections, I'm very well known as an expert in elections. I'm certified at the state and national levels. I've done training for many other supervisors of elections office. They call me on a regular basis. As early, you know, yesterday I was getting phone calls on Sunday about ballot preparation and just overall concepts and how we're getting prepared for this election coming up. So I think I bring something unique to this position. Not only have I worked in the government side, I've also worked on the vendor world, in the vendor world of elections, and I was a troubleshooter being sent all over the country to help where elections were going, had problems going south, help putting out election fires. And so I think that show has taught me not only seeing from Ion's perspective in Leon County elections what goes right in elections, but what can go wrong in elections. And I think those two different aspects are something that I bring to the table that none of the other candidates do.
Okay, Mr. Early, thank you very much. Tina Pate is right next door to you, and we welcome you to our Political Perspectives, ma'am. And tell us a bit about yourself and how that will influence your aspiration to become the next supervisor of elections here in Leon County.
Thank you, Tom. And I also would like to thank WFSU for this opportunity today. And Mark and Alan, it's good to see you this morning. I have a breadth of experience that neither one of my opponents bring. I have served in the executive and judicial branches of government, as well as have met with success in the legislative branch. And I recently stepped down from chairing the Florida Parole Commission or the Commission on Offender Review. I have been the point person for governors on some public safety issues, crime victims issues, and have served in a nonpartisan manner for many, many years, advocating for the citizens of our state. And I really look forward to this position because it will allow me to continue to do everything that I've been doing for years, and that's advocating for the citizens of our state. And the most important right, our right to vote, our right to have our voices heard. And again, that is what I have been doing on a statewide basis for so many years, making certain that citizens have a right to the process, that their voices are heard in the process. And so I'm looking forward to doing that. I can tell you that this is an exciting time for the citizens of our community. I don't believe that there's another office with so many wonderful options and choices. I think that each one of us brings something to the table and to the ballot that I actually kind of – I'm excited for the citizens. I really am, because we're passionate. Each one of us wants to continue the legacy of Mr. Sancho. He's done a good job. We've acknowledged that. But we also want to take it even further. And so I'm incredibly excited about that opportunity and look forward to our conversation today.
Well, let's jump off on that particular angle of attack as we talk about, again, the unique qualifications that each of you do bring to the Office of Supervisor of Elections as to how you take what is there right now, admittedly a highly effective and efficient way of running a constitutional office, and you move it on to the next level. Mr. Williams, what would you do with that?
Well, thank you for that question. And I, you know, I believe that Ion has done a great job. I was in the eighth grade when Ion took over. And so I remember the first time I had an opportunity to vote in an election. Obviously, Ion was the supervisor. But I think we can do more. I think obviously there are opportunities that we can build on in our supervisor's office. You know, one of the things I would tell you that, you know, we've been advocating for, and I think you'll start to see get a lot of traction, is making – we got to make voting more convenient, right? And I think one of the ways we do that is obviously through outreach. And, as Mark and Tina said, they, you know, everyone has their different experiences they bring to this race. One thing I will say, Tina mentioned that I also worked in the executive. I worked for former Governor Lawton Childs, just to make sure we set the record straight. Yeah. But I will tell you that I think when we look at the funding that we get from the federal government, whether it's through HAVA dollars or whether it's monies that Congress sends down, I think we have to make sure that we're doing all we can to make sure that One, we get more EVITs, which are those electronic poll books that allow folks to come up when they come into the ballot or to the poll site to check their ID and make sure that they are who they say they are. We have to get more of those so we can speed up that process. We're fortunate that we don't have the complexities that, say, a Dade County has, right, with multiple cities, multiple languages, and then having long ballots, right? We're fortunate in that, but we also have to be very careful because our community is becoming more diverse. So one of the things that I want to look at doing is making sure that we have partnership with Star Metro on Election Day to give folks a ride. So we want to, you know, a lot of folks have different reasons why they can't get to the polling sites. We want to partner with Star Metro, Yellow Cab, and other transportation services to provide transportation to the election site. And then also, I think one of the things I'm excited about implementing is a bipartisan commission of Republicans, Democrats, and independents, equally stacked amongst all those groups, to then talk about how can we make voting better in Leon County. Right now, we have some form of that, but it's really through our poll workers, folks that we hire. And I want to take it outside of that and give the common citizen, the average citizen, the ability to get involved in the process. So it's just some of the ideas I have. Obviously, we have more.
Okay. And what I want to do to give both Mark Gurley and Tina Pate ample opportunity to also build on that question, we'll defer the response on that for just a few moments. We're rapidly coming up on a break. And one of the most awkward things in broadcasting is when you are having a break bear down upon you and say, and Mr. Candidate, what would you do relative to a very long involved thing? And you got 10 seconds to tell us all about it. So we won't do that to you, but we will remind you of something else that is coming up that does connect to this entire electoral process here on WFSU. And that is our critically acclaimed and very eagerly anticipated bandwagon show that's going to be coming up. Actually, several of them. The primary bandwagon number one for Leon County races will take place August 8th at 7 o'clock on 4FSU, which is Comcast Channel 4 in Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties. Primary bandwagon number 2 is August 10th. That's for Gadsden and Wakulla County races, also at 7 on 4FSU. General election bandwagon, mark your calendar. That takes place on September 26th. And we'll be back with our current political perspectives on the race for Supervisor of Elections here in Leon County in just a moment. Political Perspectives number 5 as we roll on through the entire month of July covering all of the Leon County constitutional races. You also have the City of Tallahassee and Leon County Commission races. We have State House District 8 because Mr. Williams has been term limited out here, so he's running for Supervisor of Elections. We have House District 9. We also have Congressional Districts. You see the plural? 2 and 5 here facing Tallahassee for the very, very first time. There's a lot of decisions we have to make as voters, and that's why we're doing this entire month-long political perspective series on WFSU to kind of help you out and get the lay of the land in as to who is running for what and what they bring to the table. Again, the Leon County Supervisor of Elections race here, and we just talked to Representative Alan Williams, what he would build upon as far as the office right now. And Mr. Early, you're kind of in a unique and some would say somewhat awkward position. It's like, my boss did a great job, but I can do even better. Really, where would you take the office from where it is now?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, it is somewhat awkward, but I think we're building on a great foundation. Leon County is seen, as I said in my opening remarks, as a national leader, certainly as a state leader. As innovators, we've led the law. We've led statute here. Early voting, as Representative Williams was talking about earlier, early voting started here in Leon County. And there was some opposition to it, but we weren't afraid to go the extra mile and do what we thought was right. And I think that was seen as a very innovative and very big improvement to the voting process. We've certainly always been advocates for expanding upon that. We would love the opportunity to do that. Currently, we're restricted to just libraries and one other potential early voting kind of wild card site. We take full advantage of that. One thing we're doing now that we have not done in the past is we are phasing in the Sunday prior to the election as an early voting day. This first election, this is a change for us logistically, so we're going to be bringing in early voting on that Sunday. We actually call it branch office voting at our operations center on the Sunday prior to the August 30th election. I believe that's the 28th. And then at all of our early voting sites for the November election, we're going to have early voting on that second Sunday, the Sunday right before the election. So we're very excited about that. The community, I think, has been asking for that for a while, but we have a fairly lean office. We run things very efficiently, and we reuse some equipment from early voting to election day. So that's an opportunity that we have to expand some of the technology that allows us to make advancements in that. As was mentioned, we do have the electronic poll books. We have that at all of our early voting sites and all of our polling places currently. So we are proud of that. That does bring efficiencies that we can then use to make other opportunities available. I would say that we've got a good complement of electronic poll books, actually. We don't seem to have lines really anywhere. Occasionally at early voting sites in the morning or when it just starts opening up or the very last day, we'll get so many people coming out that it does form a bit of a line. But I think we're very efficient at processing voters here. We're happy about that. Some of the technology improvements allow us to expand on auditing and transparency and verification of the vote. Our office is, like I say, seen as leaders in our voting system. We've got a system here that we just purchased recently that allows ADA voters and regular voters to just go ahead and mark their ballot with the same – using the same technology. That brings a lot of efficiencies and improvements on our training. It's tough to train 1,000 poll workers every election with changing laws, changing technology, changing equipment, multiple voting systems, multiple pieces of technology. So we're trying to standardize on one main device, and that's what we've done. So that brings a lot of improvements that we can also move forward with. As far as outreach, I think we are seen as – well, we're everywhere currently. Our office is always out in the community. Certainly there's always room for improvement, but I think we do a very good job of being open to the public. We get phone calls every day, mostly thanking us for our job, but certainly we get calls from people with the suggestions on how to improve, and we take those to heart. We do open ourselves up to having people come in and see what our operation looks like, how we do things, and in those circumstances, we're always trying to get feedback. So I don't think anybody's afraid to approach our office and make suggestions, and we are always very willing to accommodate them as best we can.
Very good. And since you brought up the concept of taking what is there and moving it along a little bit, Tina Paytua, what are your ideas here to kind of enhance and augment and improve upon what's already there in the office?
Absolutely. Like I said before, I do believe Mr. Sancho's done a great job, and I want to continue on that. But there are a few things. I think as a leader, when someone's been in the position for 28 years, there's always an opportunity for a fresh perspective and a fresh review of practices. So I would go in first and have the conversations with the staff, the stakeholders, making certain that we're not duplicating services, look at efficiencies that we can make improvements on. And again, this involves one-on-one conversations with members of the staff. You know, give me three things that we need to stop doing today to avoid duplication and increase our efficiencies. Name three things that we could start doing tomorrow that will help us provide better services to the community, as well as outline things that we are doing well and we need to continue. When I made my announcement on January the 7th, I said that there were a couple of areas that I wanted to focus on. And not that we haven't been hitting them, but I think we can improve. And I say this based on all the conversations I'm having in the community as late as yesterday when I was off of Fred George Road knocking on doors. There needs to be a greater outreach to our military and veteran servicemen. I have had many conversations where either – and it doesn't happen all the time. It's a hit-and-miss thing, so we want to improve on that. We want to make certain that they're getting the information timely and that it's being returned timely for their votes to be counted. I've also talked about, for those individuals that have been caught up in the criminal justice system, providing meaningful opportunities for them to reengage with society. And I've talked about my initiative on restoring restoration of civil rights and the conversation conversations I'm having with individuals across the state trying to make this happen. In addition, I've talked about the need to connect generations at the polls. While we do have youth involved in our processes, we also know that many youth are not engaging because they just don't understand the value of their input. And so I think we need to reach out more to our youth, as well as not let those in the greatest generation that we so enjoy disengage for whatever reason. And again, it's the conversations that I'm having. Many people are frustrated. Many people do feel like their voice has been lost in all of the conversations that are being held. And this goes whether it's a national ballot or a local ballot. There is a lot of dissatisfaction. And so whenever we think of some of the challenges, it's wonderful that we have a well-run office. But there really needs to be greater outreach with the people, more civic engagement, and we have to work hard to identify those. And that's what I'm all about. I've done that throughout my career, identifying stakeholders, having those conversations, and making certain that the citizens feel like they're a part of the process.
The three contenders for the Leon County Supervisor of Elections office are guests on Political Perspectives today. 414-1234 is the local number. If you'd like to add to the conversation, you have a question, a comment, it's 800-926-8809 long distance, or if you prefer to communicate via email, it's perspectives@wfsu.org. Being of a certain demographic position, I recall when the supervisor of elections just about everywhere in the country was primarily a – like Santa Claus. This person would come out just on occasion and would do their job and then disappear until the next electoral cycle. And as long as the election was done with efficiency and dispatch and there were no major meltdowns, everything was fine. In recent years, however, on both a national and a statewide level, electoral law and procedure and policy and technology has become a rapidly moving target. And it seems as though every legislative session here in Florida, there are new strictures, there are new policies, procedures, and statutes that impact the elections office. So no longer do we need just a technician to make the electoral train run on time. You now need someone who can also, as Ms. Pate indicated, also be a strong advocate and try to at least get some kind of uniformity and perhaps some would even suggest sanity into election law statewide. Representative Williams, what do you bring to the table that both as a technician and as an advocate?
Well, I will tell you that first and foremost, I believe that Supervisor of Elections Office is about leadership. We obviously have a great community, a great county here in Leon, and we've been blessed and fortunate to have a great, well-run elections process. And I think a lot of that credit goes not only to ION but to the voters. The folks who are out there listening to us right now, we have one of the most engaged communities, not only in the state, but in the country. And so, you know, we do get it right, and we have to get it right because if we don't, you know, it'll be Jan Petrick all over again. And everyone remember those days, and that's what ushered ION into the office he's in now. But what I will tell you is that I think when you look at the elections and you look at election law, out of everyone that's running, I believe I'm the only one that has had the opportunity, only because by virtue of my position, to really be engaged in that work. I'm sure that the other candidates believe that the work that we've done has been successful. Obviously, Mark and I, we both agree, and we've worked on that together via his office and through ION. But I will tell you that working with supervisors of elections across the state, one of the things that we see over and over again is that they all have to be impartial, right? They have to be above reproach. And so one of the things that I will work on next year, if I'm supervisor of elections or if I'm not, is to work with my former colleagues and say that as supervisor, two things have to happen. One, you cannot endorse in any race, whether it's in your home county or outside of your county. And although there's been conversation around constitutionality and whatnot, supervisor is the referee, right? He or she must be above reproach. And so one of the things that we're going to focus on is how do we craft that? There's a lot of different ways, a lot of different nuances to that. We don't want to violate their freedom of speech, but we also want to make sure that the voters have trust in the process, right? That's why judges cannot go out and fundraise for themselves, because when someone comes before a judge, they want to make sure that this person isn't out there fundraising, getting checks from someone that then may come in front of them. And so we're going to continue to look at that. The other thing that we're going to look at is, you know, how can we make voting even more convenient? You know, we have the early voting sites, but what about mobile voting? How can we enhance that even more? Take, you know, voting to our seniors who can't get to the voting site sometimes. How can we work with our communities that are disenfranchised? When we look around what's going on around the country in Dallas and St. Paul and Baton Rouge, our hearts go out to them. But I will tell you that one of the best ways to cure that is to be an active and engaged voter, because then you get to set the tone of who is in office, who responds to the issues that you care about. And that's what I'm going to do as supervisor of elections. It's not about partisanship for me. It's about process. And that's what I'm so excited about. I can't wait to be able to get into that world, because at the end of the day, it should be about the voters, and it should be about making every vote count. Because every vote does.
Okay. And Mr. Early, before you get into your discussion of advocacy versus technical expertise on your behalf, any reaction there? You're kind of in the middle again, because you did get an endorsement from your boss, and that's what I think Representative Williams was referring to. It kind of puts you in a position that could be a double-edged sword. On one hand, you know, it could be a good thing. On the other hand, it may not work in your favor all that well.
I have a hard time seeing this as a double-edged sword, actually. Ion, I think, is above reproach. I think the citizens trust him. Ion has never been afraid to take a stand. That's been one of his great strengths. I think that's what he brings to the office, and I think that's one of the traits that whoever takes over his leadership needs to continue. That has aspects within the advocacy in the legislature, but also as a guiding factor for what he believes is right for the citizens of Leon County. I think the citizens look to Ion for advice, for supporting their rights, and he wants to have the best person carry on his tradition of excellence as he sees fit. He's one voice among the entire county. As far as how that impacts the conduct of an election, it's not a whole lot of difference. I know there's differing viewpoints on this, of Ion advocating for his own reelection when he's been on the ballot, which he hasn't been contested a lot. But every supervisor of election can be contested each election that they are on the ballot. And there are specific guidelines that govern how that needs to be done. Ion is, like I say, on the canvassing board. The canvassing board, there's a lot of technicalities here. The canvassing board is the one that decides votes. Okay, the voting machine processes most of the ballots. That's all certified. Any ballot that is marked in such a way that the machine cannot process the votes, that goes before the canvassing board. If Ion is advocating for himself or for another candidate, he just takes himself off that canvassing board, and he can play an advisory role. So the election is not tainted by Ion's decision to advocate for his successor. The election is protected by the canvassing board. This is 102.141 is the statute that governs this. It's very explicit. And so I'm really proud to have Ion's endorsement. Like I say, other supervisors have endorsed me also. So if this was some kind of a problem, you know, that wouldn't be the case. I've got 16 other either former or current supervisors endorsing me. So as far as Ion's endorsement, I think it's a great thing. I really appreciate it. And I like talking about it. That's a great thing. To the point of advocacy, we've certainly played a large role in Leon County for advocating what we think is right statutorily. After the long lines and all the problems in the 2012 elections, we had Lotvala's Ethics and Elections Committee come into our operations center, and we had about a four-hour essentially field trip. I don't think they've ever taken a field trip before. Everybody came in vans. We showed them from A to Z what makes elections work and where the problems are, and we advocated for some strong positions, some strong changes there. Like I say, we started early voting. We recently advocated and got past the opportunity to do a really effective post-election audit, something that's never really been done in Florida. There was a manual audit that takes a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of room for problems. So that's a position we've advocated strongly for. And that's something we'll continue to do. I also hear that we're not out in the community enough. We're in all the assisted living facilities. Statute mandates that we do that. If they request it, we are more proactive than that. We approach every single one, and we are out there helping people vote. So we are always trying to improve the ability for people to vote. one of the criticisms I hear is that we make it too easy to vote, which is somewhat contrary to our mission. But that's our goal, is to make it very easy for people's voice to be heard. And that's what we always want to protect. And that's what we're known for doing.
Okay, Ms. Pate, your balance philosophically between the technical and the advocacy aspect there.
I would like to first address a couple of comments by Mr. Early, if I may, Tom. It's wonderful to see an employee so complimentary of his boss. Sometimes I believe you can be too close to a situation then you can't see what is really glaringly obvious, I believe. I served as a commissioner with statewide jurisdiction, and I made the determination to leave my job early to pursue this office because I didn't want to be at a fundraiser. I didn't want to be at an event and someone give me a check and then to find out that their loved one would be on my docket the next week. Not only do I have the obligation to avoid a conflict, I have to avoid even the appearance of impropriety. And that's what we have here. I believe that, a line has been crossed. And I do understand that Mark sees this as a positive, and I can see that in many respects, but he also is not having all the conversations. Yesterday, I was at someone's door, and they said, I want to know one thing. Are you part of the current administration? Have you been working with him? Is he endorsing you? And of course, the conversation came full circle on it, and the response was, okay, well, that's good, because if that was the case, I would not be supporting you, because he did do the endorsement. So I don't think that everyone in this community feels like Mr. Early does. And even at our last meeting when we were before the editorial board, Mr. Early recognized the conflict. He said, I see that this is a conflict. I mean, those were his words. So again, we will compete and we will bring our expertise and our leadership ideas and vision to the table. We'll move forward with it, but I hear the music.
Yes, but we will come back and we'll address that other part of the question in just a moment here on Political Perspectives, 414-1234. Leon County Supervisor of Elections Office is in contention here on Political Perspectives, and we're back with Tina Pate. Again, now that we have taken care of the one angle of debate regarding endorsements and all that sort of thing, still, you brought up advocacy, and you are a strong advocate historically. As far as the technical aspects of elections, maybe not so much, but what's your take on that?
Well, I can tell you that through the years, and especially at the commission, I was heavily involved with members of our legislative body in conducting voter education and awareness programs throughout the state, town hall meetings, et cetera. So my team and I were involved in understanding what the issues were with the citizens, providing information to them on site about how to find out information about their rights, how to register, et cetera. So I'm very much aware of that process. I may not be able to tell you how voting machine works, but I can certainly tell you what the concerns of the constituency is. Also, on election day, up until the polls closed, our office was involved taking calls from supervisors of elections, dealing with issues that occurred on site and in their community, and giving them the proper responses there too. I can tell you that I know Mr. Early was talking about how they're out in the community. I was at an assisted living facility on Friday. I was given a tour and was advised that, yes, the supervisor of elections office has been out there, but it had been a few years. And they had clients of their system that it's of the disabled community. And so there is room for conversation for those who can actually vote and those that maybe have been deemed incompetent to vote. And so you have to be careful about that. But I met an awful lot of people that should be able to vote. And they said, I want to vote. I want to vote. I don't know how to vote. How do I vote? You know, so I do know that we need to do greater advocacy in that area as well. I don't think that, and giving full respect and attention to what each of us brings to the table, I don't think that anyone has had the advocacy experiences I have for our citizens. And I would absolutely be full focused on this, because I do believe that each and every one of us should have a voice in the process. As far as learning processes, I've been in different positions through my career, and I have never experienced any difficulty in learning what was necessary to do the job and to do the job well.
Thank you, ma'am. Let's go to the phones here as we get some community involvement here on Political Perspectives. We'll go first to Ted, who has been very patiently awaiting. Hi, Ted. Thank you so much, sir. And what's your question?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My concern is with the voting machine integrity and the legitimacy of our elections and what we plan on doing to ensure that in the wake of the disparities between exit polling and real vote counts across the country, especially in this Democratic election or primary, but all the way back to the 2000 elections and the introduction of our paperless trail voting machine, electronic voting machines. Now, I understand that we have a very good system with the bubble records that give us a paper document that creates a trail for us. Will our candidates agree to poll machines randomly before, during, and after the elections to verify the accuracy of these counts? As Ion Sancho very expertly pointed out through his investigation, that these are easily hacked and can be manipulated quite easily.
We'll go around the table and get some input on that, Ted. Thank you very much. Representative Williams, your thoughts there.
I will tell you that I'm a fan of paper ballots. I'm old school. I still get my newspaper delivered, even though I can pull it down electronically. I am a big – Ted, thank you for your question. I hear that everywhere I go, especially when I'm out knocking doors. Folks want to know, will we have the paper ballots? As supervisor of elections, that will be a mainstay if I'm elected supervisor. I will tell you, Ted, that you should feel comfortable and rest assured that statute requires the testing and the authenticity of the machines and all the equipment that we use. We don't have, you know, if you're a fan of Scandal or you watch Olivia Pope, we won't have a Defiance Ohio here in Leon County. What we will have is an office that is run with fairness, integrity, and one that will outreach every day as your supervisor of elections. And I will add that, you know, I heard we talked about the outreach. We have done a good job, but I think there are ways that we can build upon that. You know, as someone who lived, grew up on the South Side, you know, I want to take folks who are advocates for voting that live on the South Side, bring them as part of our team, deputize them, if you will, to be our outreach team, to make sure that we have them engaged. A lot of times we have folks that may live on one side of the community, and then they come and try and, you know, get folks to vote who live on the other side. I think it takes an all-hands-on-deck approach, and I think that we can do that. And I think we've done a good job, but I think we can enhance it even more, because more and more as I've campaigned to be supervisor of elections, I'm hearing that from pastors, both in predominantly African-American churches and predominantly majority white churches, that we want to have someone that we know talk to us about voting. And so we have to do that. And I think that's fair. I mean, the voters are asking for that, and so we have to engage in that regard. But to your point, Ted, paper ballots for everybody.
Okay. Mark Early, your response, sir.
Well, thanks, Ted, for your call. Thanks for your question. I think his question and comments bring out the very important role technology does play in this. This position is a technical administrator of state statute. The technology is not something to be brushed aside. So off on the campaign trail, all we hear about is talk about voter outreach, voter education. That's very important. I think we do a great job, and we always are striving to do better. But what gets you in trouble in elections are problems with the voting machine, lack of trust in the systems we adopt and use here. And we've been leaders. I've been leaders in that. I've been a leader in that. I've been sought out by different vendors who understand my understanding of procedure and statute and the interplay between that and the technology and how to ensure that votes are not only tabulated properly but are verified and the whole process is transparent. So specifically, Ted, you asked about the testing and pulling randomly machines out. We do that, as Representative Williams pointed out. There are a whole set of guidelines that govern how you do that. We certainly go above and beyond. There's a lot of different ways you can do test decks, and I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of that, but we do very, very comprehensive testing of all of our voting machines. As I mentioned earlier, we have – actually, myself, I spent 6 years from 2009 through 2015 helping design a 100% automated independent audit that we've rolled out in Leon County. We were advocates at the legislature to allow that to be used. It's an option. We were advised we could not get that passed as a required way to do a post-election audit. But we have adopted that. Other big counties are coming on board now with that. And I think that is a way to show it's a completely separate system. And we scan the ballots twice. We scan them through the tabulators. And we also scan them through this automated system to verify the accuracy of the count. Exit polls, there's a lot of reasons why those can be accurate or not. But our type of audit that we've instituted here shows that the ballots as marked were tabulated properly, audited properly, and we're trying to go even further than that and actually put those audit images online so that the population, you know, citizens in general, have the tools that they can verify for themselves that the votes are tabulated properly.
Okay, Tina Pegg, yeah, let's give you an opportunity to
Ted, thank you so much for your question. I can tell you that we're in full agreement. Each one of us has already indicated that we do believe in post-election auditing, and it's all part of our effort to ensure transparency and verification takes place. So, yes, I would be involved in looking at the results following an election.
Okay, but first, before you can verify the results, you also have to have the ballots to verify. And there has been a growing movement to enfranchise younger citizens, even proposals to lower the voting age to 16 from what it is currently. And that relates to something that Jack wants to talk about. He's waiting on line three. Hello, Jack. Welcome to Perspectives.
Jack Levine.
Thank you so much, Tom. Yes, I think the health of the democracy can very, very much be ensured if we engage young people. We have a statute in Florida, as your panelists know, that has a curriculum in place now for 3 years and running for middle school to learn about the intricacies of government and voting. And I would like to ask your panel members what their specific ideas are for getting high school students interested and engaged in the process of voting so that we can be confident that a new generation of voters are active and aware of their obligations.
Thank you very much, Jack, and I love the latest piece that you sent out, by the way. Let's go back around the table in the other direction, start with you, Tina Pate, on that.
Thank you, and good to hear from you, Jack. I can tell you that this is one of the things that I'm most excited about, and that is to get into our schools and let our youth understand just how important their role in our future is. It's critically important that they engage in the process, and I've looked at what other supervisors of elections are doing across the state and across the country. Whether or not it is actually having mock elections that take place in a school setting, have an essay contest, having them involved in maybe selecting individuals for office, you know, outside of the school setting, but going through the mock election processes so that they are very much aware of what they're going to be responsible for doing. They will be shaping our future. So it's critically important that we get them involved. And I'm excited about that.
Okay. Young voter outreach, Mr. Early.
Yes, that's a great question. Our office is very active in the schools. We provide our exact voting system that we use in real elections to any school that requests it. We have a very good amount of activity in that. We're in the elementary schools conducting elections, the middle schools, and the high schools. Some schools choose not to use this opportunity, but we do free elections for every school once per school year that asks for it, as long as it doesn't conflict with some of our existing election operations. And I think that really brings the students in and let them see how voting works. It's not this foreign thing that's scary. We're also big advocates and partners in kids voting. Kids voting is big in our community. We've been partners. I've done the ballots for kids voting for many, many years. It's a great effort that we provide, I think, for the students. And in conjunction with all of this, we do a lot of voter outreach in the schools. This year, I started something we call the voter registration challenge in the schools, where we try and pit one school versus another to see how many students they can get registered. In Florida, you're allowed to pre-register from 16 through 18, and that way if an election is even on your birthday and you haven't registered before the close of the polls or close of the voting rolls, you will be eligible to vote. So that's something we make a large effort to get the students involved. We're also out there helping conduct classes and presentations to students about their civic duty, responsibility, and the responsibility to really learn about elections, to make their best choices, and understand why voting is so important to their lives, and especially in the local races. Everybody gets excited, and we always see the best turnouts during the general elections for president. We see this especially at the university level, at those precincts that serve the university communities. We're trying to make that known that really it's the local races that have impact your lives the most. And that's part of our big education effort and challenge because it doesn't get the big headlines. The local races do not as the general election with the presidential candidates gets. You know, there's a lot of money in politics. We're trying to counteract that with education and a footprint out in the community where we can be seen as partners to bring these people into the fold and have them partner up and take their part in exercise their vote.
Okay. Alan Williams, what else?
I will tell you that, Jack, thank you for this question and thank you for your advocacy. And, you know, a couple things real quick. One, and Jack, you know this as part of your intergenerational work. You know, we have a great senior population here in Leon County, and we want to engage that senior population and encourage them to go out and be advocates with our young population. But one of the things specifically that I would do is, one, when our children are born at our local hospitals, they will get a letter and they will get their first voter registration card if I'm supervisor of elections. It will be symbolic, something for them to have and hopefully for them to remember and their parents to encourage them. Hopefully maybe even get their parents who aren't maybe not registered to get them registered, because voter registration is your passport to democracy. That's what I believe. But two, the most specific thing is I believe in your idea, Jack, that you're rolling out, and I was glad to learn about it through Leadership Florida, is an initiative that will hopefully take shape and catch fire that will allow 16-year-olds, and I'm a big advocate for this, 16-year-olds to be able to vote in local school board elections. I think that's critically important because, look, we see our school board commissioners and council folks out in the community. The students see them, but they always say it's about the kids. Well, if it's about the kids, let's allow these 16-year-olds, if they're allowed to drive, they can get behind the wheel of a car. I think we can trust them to know the best person to vote for their school board officer. So I'm excited about that. I think that's one of the best ways to get young folks involved. They do it around the country. I've spoken with other supervisors of elections. They call them different things. It may be a clerk in one community. It may be a board of election control in the other. But regardless, they have individuals that they have allowed their 16-year-olds to vote in those school board elections. They may not be able to vote in every election, but I think that's a start. And I think it builds on the seventh grade civics course that we are putting in place in the state of Florida. It gets them jump started into that voting process.
Time grows short, and folks, we have imposed no time limits on anything you all have had to say today, but we'll have to do it just for sake of logistics here on the tail end. I'll give everyone just a quick, about 30, 40-second wrap-up, and we'll go alphabetically, starting with Mr. Mark Early.
Well, I just, again, Tom, want to thank you for this opportunity to speak to everyone. I think these forums are very important. The elections office is an office that protects your voice. We don't want someone in there who's learning on the job. There's a lot more to this than voter outreach. There's a whole gamut of technology and rule and statute, and you have to have someone in there that understands the complexities, the interplay from all of these different angles. I've spent 30 years of my life, my entire adult life, learning this. I'm prepared. I'm ready to serve the voters as I've been doing all these years. I love elections. That's why I'm running for office. I want to protect our legacy of great work here, and I want this to continue forward into the future. I'm there for you. Consider voting for Mark Early. Vote early.
Okay. Thank you. And Tina Pay.
Well, I believe this all comes down to one question, and that is, who can you trust? Who can you trust to make certain that your voice is heard and your vote is counted? And I believe that based on my work in this state advocating for the rights of citizens, that I am the person for this job. I also understand how important the leadership part of this is, being able to cast the vision and seeing that vision accomplished. I am very excited about this opportunity, and I can't wait to get to work at it.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Alan Williams.
Thank you so much. And again, thank you, WFSU, for this opportunity. Thank you, Ted and Jack, for actually calling in. We appreciate that. The opportunity to be your next supervisor of elections, it's really a generational question. The current supervisor has been there for 28 years. I believe that I am qualified to come in and hit the ground running to be your next supervisor of elections. It's about leadership. It's about outreach. It's about having tentacles into the community. And I think above anyone else in this race, I have connections and ties to this community. There are a lot of great ideas that we want to implement. We want to work with the United Way. We want to work with the chamber and get businesses more actively involved in voter registration, work with our United Way partners to get them more involved in voter registration. The more folks that we have registered to vote, the less folks that complain that aren't registered, they can do something about the leaders that they have at city, county, and state level, and at the federal level as well. So we need you to get registered to vote. The last day to register before August 30th is August 1st. So go out and get registered to vote.
The candidates for Supervisor of Elections for Leon County. Thank you all for coming on Political Perspectives, which is produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lido Rawls on the radio side. Suzanne Smith, Paul Dam, Brandy Staney, Becca Alves, Jason Ramsamer, Paul Delva, Frankie Verdesia, and Rick Patricus on TV. I'm Tom Flanagan. See you tomorrow.
Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.